Oh, hope you don't fall asleep in the afternoon. Okay, so we're gonna get started in about 1 minute. Again, the presentation and demo will be available on my blog, probably like on Monday or Tuesday. And then again, for those of you who did not write down my blog link, blogs at msdn.com/Doris Chen. Okay, that's a blog link you want to follow. And I'm going to give you guys a minute so that I could settle down. Okay, so I think most of you are here. Let's continue. So we're going to talk about audio and video support in HTML5. So let me show the hands. How many of you are interested in knowing more about videos, all those things, manipulation? Okay, good. I'm trying to speed up to catch up some the time behind, but it looks like I shouldn't. All right, so audio and video is probably the very first, at least for me, it's the very first sort of like a feature sort of led me to sort of pay more attention to HTML5. Because in the past, what did we use to display a video? All the plugin technology, right? And then things like if you send something, you know, to your grandma and just tell grandma, say, hey, just click it. And the grandma says, it asked me to install something, you know. I said, oh, well, she's like, I don't know how to do it, you know. So with the plugin technology, it is true. It's not that user-friendly. You do have to install all the Flash or Silverlight and all those things into it, right? So, and the other things maybe you never thought about that is with all the plugin for that particular area of showing the video, you wouldn't be able to do anything onto this area. It is like a black box. It says, I am in control of this. This belongs to the plugin content. You wouldn't be able to touch it. If you want to do something onto it, you couldn't because it's just black box. So this is not very nice. Sometimes we want to maybe, you know, adding some animation on top of that, or maybe adding some, you know, nice graphic things on top of something, you know, make it more interesting. But with plugin, there's no way you could do that. So this is another reason, you know, in HTML5, we say, okay, so we would actually have a better way to support multimedia, to support audio and video, right? So we want to actually give people a really easy time, make it across browsers. I don't have to worry about all the plugins. And then also we let people to manipulate their data the way they want. So this is the sort of like a rationale behind. And then obviously I would probably say the only reason, you know, you may still want to stay with plugin is you worry about a copyright, a DRM thing. Other than that, I don't really think there's a reason to, you know, go with a plugin kind of approach because it does have a lot of problems with that. Okay, with that, so let's start with the introduction with audio really quickly. And I'm intending to spend more time onto the HTML5 video and talk a few tools you will be able to use with HTML5. Okay, so audio part in the HTML5 is really very straightforward. There's industry standard for MP3 and AAC audio. And all the audio is fully scriptable with DOM, meaning you know, could, you know, apply different kind of JavaScript to work with that, and it's all, you know, very easy to do. And then to make it really simple, they actually just define a few things with audio, right? So with audio, you could actually define the SRC, the source, one of the attributes is the source, so that you could give the URL where you're going to get your audio or video. And the cool thing about that is all the attributes here is consistent between audio and video, so you don't have to like memorize another set of things for video. And there's a preload button option, which you could actually specify if you don't want any preloading, right? For example, maybe you have a site with like 20 or 30 podcasts in the front page. And for performance sake, because it's the first page, you don't want people to feel your site is really slow. So maybe you don't want to preload anything onto this to make your site really slow. Instead, maybe you want just display some images or something. When people click on that, then you start to loading, right? Sometimes people say, I do want some preloading, but not the whole data. Maybe just some metadata, right? I want to know the nature of that piece of data. I want to know how big the data is. I want to know a little bit detailed in the header information. So maybe I want a metadata. Because of that, based on that, I could do something. Of course, the other is like a default, is auto. If you don't say anything, it's going to be automatically preloaded for you. So you will actually see that a piece of audio or video. So these three pieces are pretty important. People feel it's really useful for that implementation. So you could actually choose any one of them to make good use of that. Now, the other things I found it's pretty useful is if you really sort of fuzzy about the performance of these three options, you could use like Fedora or the network option in F12.2 in IE to take a look. If I'm getting three different options and take the record, actually capture the HTTP request and response to see how the performance goes, you know, it will tell you exactly how long it will take for the waiting time, the loading time, and so on. So it's a good exercise. The other option is autoplay, meaning I will play this particular audio or video automatically, right? So with video, sometimes maybe you want to show it, but with audio, sometimes you do want to be careful because not everybody want to listen to that piece of audio automatically without notifying them. Especially, I know that it's embarrassing, you're on a conf call and you are browsing the web something, all of a sudden make a lot of noise, you know. That's not very nice. So be cautious about to make autoplay for your audio. Make sure, you know, you don't want to make people feel it's a little annoying and things like that. So the other thing is loop. It's very useful. So you play the music or video, you know, repeat it again and again. So it's very good. Controls, probably you want it because that will give you a control bar, right? You could do play, pause, backwards, and you know, all those regular options. So it has a default setting for you to do that. And all the browsers actually have their native support, okay? So if you go to a video, you could take a look what the video player look like in different browsers. Okay, so audio, very easy to just include an audio piece inside the audio resource here called audio.mp3. And then in this case, I put a few options. I said I wanted this music to be auto-played. I also want to see the control bars so that I could have some control. I could pause it. I want to repeat it play, so I put a loop. And I do want this piece of audio to be preloaded. All right. So these are the options you could play, but you don't have to put all of them. You know, you could choose any one of them to fit into your scenario. And then the other thing is a fallback. Again, I want to emphasize that. So if your browser doesn't recognize this tag called audio, then you probably need to do something. You should give it some message, say browser doesn't support audio. Please, you know, maybe go back to the plugin way to download all the plugins or things like that. So you need to put it, this is called fallback. And we'll talk about that in more detail in the next session. All right. So all the HTML5 tags, audio, video, canvas, all those tags have all the fallback. All right? So you will be able to give the best message you can for those browsers that does not support that feature. So one of the pretty cool things about this audio tags is it will allow you to play multiple pieces of, say, music. Right? So in this case, I could literally generating something like a band with bass, drum, crunch, guitar, you know, things like that. And I could do just simple thing like that to play multiple audio. All right? So I'm going to do a quick demo on that as you could see. So before we get into that, now I know like everybody was thinking, With this kind of audio video approach, I'm really hoping I write once, just maybe choose a particular audio format. It should run on all the browsers. Unfortunately, it's not there yet. So let's take a little close look. For IE9 and above, we support MP3 and AAC. And then Firefox only supported WAV, so as Opera. And Safari and the Chrome, they support all the audio format. So for the minimum, for any of the audio scene, if you want to make it across browsers, two format you probably want to use, you use the industry sort of like a standard MP3. And if you want to support Firefox on Opera, you probably want to put a WAV format as well. So two of them. So I will show you, you know, what it looks like. OK, so let's do a quick demo. Let's give you some idea. I don't know if this audio is plugged in. Okay. So again, let's go to Visual Studio. This is the Visual Studio Web Developer Express. It's a free version. And it's actually, if you did a machine setup, that's the same version you will use for the lab in the afternoon. So let's take a look very quick about the audio. Quick example, it's just a piece of audio for auto playing and the loop and the control. So. So this is the control, what it will look like. And then have the control, you could actually, it's not that interesting, it's audio, right? So that's one. And then you could also, like I said, you could do the multiple markup. I like it because it has different component of the music and you could play all at the same time, right? And you could also choose to pause a few of them. You're doing your composing, like you're DJ something. So you could do that. Now, so one thing I think it's still ongoing is if you want to really manipulate the audio data, because the audio W3C working group just formed like not long ago. So they are still working on if you want to manipulate certain things about audios, all those things, you want to have an easy way to do that, they're still working on that. So that part you need to stay tuned. Yeah.
The controls, are you able to specify which ones come
out? Yes. So it's all the same one. So for example, I could take the control away. So now what you will see is you will probably still hear the music, but you don't see that one. You don't see that particular one because there's no control. Visually, you don't see it. Oh, so you're saying you want to implement a default the control menu. That's what you're saying. So in this particular case, if you want to use a default one, you don't say, for example, some of the music you want to see the control, some you don't want, just don't put a control there. It will still play the sound, but doesn't have the visual bar. So maybe I didn't understand your question.
There's sections in that control. There's a pause button, there's a play button.
Yes.
There's a scrub bar.
Right. Yes. So your question is, could I customize my control menu, look and feel? Could I do that? So yes, the answer is yes. As well as audio and video, you will be implementing your own, using JavaScript probably, your own control bar. Yes, the answer is yes. But you have to do it. No, not from a markup level. I get your question. So not from markup level, you could actually customize your control look and feel. No, not from markup. But you could do it with JavaScript. So basically, I do have a demo to show that, but it's like you implementing everything, play, pause, stop, fast forward by yourself. Right? So you could do that. All right, so I think, you know, it's pretty straightforward with audio. You know, this, let's move on to something a little more complex, so which is video. So video part is, you know, there's MP4 with a profile H.264, and there is a WebN, right? So all those format. So the cool thing about video is video could actually be really good content for HTML5. It could work with images, SVG, graphics, canvas, CSS, JavaScript. It could work all of them. So that's why, you know, if you see the early stage of HTML5, a lot of people actually always, you know, try the video part because you could actually play with different things. On top of that, you could have some control about the video. So it looks really sort of cool for you because you could never do it with plugin, right, using plugin kind of approach. So that's why a lot of people play with that. And then the other thing, a big part about a video is you probably need a really good GPU hardware acceleration support, because if you don't, then you're probably not going to see the video really well or really in a nice format, especially if you want to manipulate your video data. It's probably not going to happen. You're not going to see the very good performance if you want to manipulate your video if you don't have a good hardware acceleration in your browsers. So that's actually very important. And IE9 and above did a very good job to you know, optimize all the video tags and to make things running really smoothly. So again, this is a fallback I'm talking about. With HTML5, it's actually very unique. Because why? Because if you look into HTML5, you know, it's not just developers experts in the standard group. This is actually where the browser vendors, the browser makers actually participate. So this is actually the very first HTML spec. We're actually defining something for the device, the browser vendors to implement those fallback, because the browser vendor knows, I need to support things if that particular tech not working for the browser, and I need to implement that part. So that's why you could use fallback really easily like this, right? If you compare to HTML 3 or 4, it's not, because it's not something they provided browser vendor to actually implement something to make it really user-friendly. So this started with HTML5. Fallback is working really well with all the different browsers, and the behavior is very consistent, right? So I'm going to actually, you know, move this on a little bit quick, because it's just tell you how you're going to actually support the fallback. I will show you a demo later on. So for the video, what you will see is it's actually very similar like audio, right? So you have a video tag like this, and you have a resource where to get your video tag. And then why we need a poster? Yeah, so it's a snapshot, right? And if you don't, say, for example, maybe your video will take a little bit of time to load, and then you want to show something for user-friendly purpose, right? And then if you don't specify a particular image for that particular video, what it would do, it would take the very few seconds, it would maybe blank or really, you know, kind of noisy kind of, you know, whatever image there and a display there. And it's not very user-friendly, isn't it, right? So you want to do that. And then, again, you could define the height and the width. This is something you don't need to worry about in audio, right? You don't really display the video. So audio doesn't have height and width. And then you could specify same thing, autoplay, auto-buffer even, controls, loops, and so on. And then that will also let you, if you have multiple, I will talk about that, you know, you probably sort of guessed with different format of audio data you need to put to support across browsers. Video is similar situation. So probably you need to define another kind of video format, you know, to make it across browsers. And then finally, if still that browser doesn't work with any of the HTML feature video or any of the data format, then you fall back with a plugin kind of approach. Okay, so this is an important table. I think people will be interested. If you want to support a compatibility across the major browsers, this is a table you probably want to use as a reference. So IE9 and above supported both the MP4, that's a default one, it was always support, and also support a WebM if WebM is installed. Again, Firefox and the Opera, they only support a WebM. They don't support any MP4. Safari supports MP4. And then Google Chrome is kind of like, yes, they support WebM. And for now, they still support MP4. While ago, there's a thread says they're not going to support MP4 in the future, but for now, it's still supporting. Hopefully, they will still support it. So if you look at this major browser kind of table, it's really easy for you to figure out if you want to make it across browsers. Probably at a minimum, you need to support MP4 as well as WebM. All right. So not too bad, right? People say, well, but you know, there's a lot of conversion too, like Miro, you know, all those kind of free tool online. You could converting one video format to the other, right? So it's not too bad. Okay, so again, go over the little attributes a little bit more. Video, you know, you could look at it as a review, you know, specify the source, width and the height, the poster, the image you want to show. Again, the preload is still there. You could choose different option. Auto play loop controls, very similar like audio, right? So the other things is I just want you to sort of pay a little attention is don't be too surprised when you see the video player in different browser, kind of the look and the feel is slightly different. It is expected. It's a native support, right? So it is okay, right? As long as it plays well, because every browser has a little bit different implementation. And then, however, this might be something we still need to sort of pay a little attention is the style video with CSS. For now, depends what you want to do. Sometimes it's still a little different. For example, this is a little kind of shade, the box shadow with the border radius kind of thing. And with IE and with different major brother, you see the look and feel is actually different, right? So it's still evolving, but the good thing is we could do something about it. I will show you more in the demo. Okay, demo time. So, very quickly, let me go to some very basic video demo. So obviously, the first one I want to show is properties. So with this particular one, so compatibility, we do need it. So if you look at this properties, it specifies the poster with a particular poster image. Specify yes, I want to use the default control, so you will see it on the video. I want a loop, right? And then I want preload. In this case, I choose metadata. I wanted the back playback rate by default is 1, but you could also play with different thing. Width, and then you specify two kind of video format. Okay, so let's take a look what it look like in IE. So again, this is a this is actually the poster image. And then, let me see if it's, okay. So anybody could tell me why the video is not playing? So with the Visual Studio, when you're getting to inside that, what you need to do is, because the default server is not configurable, because it's just for simplicity, right? You could have a really, embedded server. So you need to turn into IIS Express, the server, so you could have some control. And why you want to have some control? The reason you want to have some control is because, let me go back to this folder, is because there's web.config. Because all the HTML5 data type, the MIME type, MP4, WebM, OGV, SVG, WAF, those things are new vocabulary. The server, most of the server don't really know, don't really understand them. Right? So you have to sort of manually editing those information into it, tell the server, say, hey, this is the MIME type I want you to recognize. I want you to recognize those different video or audio format so you could run it. Right? So this is a part, doesn't matter what server you use, you always have to do it if you use in your development environment. Right? And then especially once hosting your particular video onto a server. Right? So, but the thing is, it's pretty good because, like, for example, now you have the lab, you could just copy and paste that web config or the data with you, right? It's just default. So it's not too bad. It just lists all the new vocabulary, new file format there, so you could use it. So now, when I switch to that, I tell them exactly the format I want to use, then I could run again. So now you can see it's not an auto play, so I have to use my control panel. I have to play it, right? And then that's the famous the video everybody is using for demo code. right? So again, because I also take care all the compatibility issue, I put a WebM there. So if I want to play with the other browser, I should be able to do that. So Firefox. So it's working, right? So this is what show you how you could actually put a two different video format and make it cross browsers. So pretty good. So one thing I want to actually get your attention is the full screen mode. So HTML5, for security reasons, they don't want to actually support a full screen mode. They don't define it in the spec. So in other words, that's something you need to take care of in your code, right? But luckily, it's not too bad to do that. And let me show you how simple it is. So obviously, you have to actually implement an event listener call to handle the resize effect. And then grab the video data, and then play with the little, like when you resize and when you make the full screen mode, you have all the width and height go with that. So, and then basically that's about it, right? And then including the video tag at the bottom, okay? So let me show you why I need a full screen one. So let's go back, actually, let's go back to that property. So let me show you why I need this. So if you play with that, and if you change the screen size, if you do this, if you don't handle it properly, right? So let's say if I'm resizing, it's cropped, right? It's cropped. If I resize, it's cropped. Now, take a look the one which I already handled with this full size screen. Let me show you what it looked like. So let's put it. That's a full size screen. All right? So it's basically function 11 for most of the machines. All right? And now, if you take a look, I could resize it. You want to go any smaller? Yeah? Like this? Yeah. I think you just want to see me crash this app. Pretty good, right? Isn't it? So just a little bit of line of code, you could make your video player, all the resize working really well. Right. Yes? Accessibility, you mean you want to... Yes, so I think I understand. So the asking about accessibility, if I don't want to use mouse, could I really do that? So this is actually go back to, let me show you this app really quick. So probably you do need to use a JavaScript and then define your key mapping with a particular thing, right? You want to use some keyboard, right? So, you know, and some people, it's related to some question people ask me if I could customize the control. So yes, you can. So this is a customized version. It's a very simple app with few buttons. Each button would do different things like loading the image, play image, pause, and change the speed for different speed. And then when you do that, and each one of the button is mapping with your own implementation, it's a JavaScript. So that's how you actually could do the control. And obviously, this is just for demo, you know. Too small the bars. So it's a bunch of buttons. You could actually start with that. And you could play it, right? So, and then you could pause it, right? You could speed up. Make it really fast. Or make it really slow. You see the scale, right? That's really slow, almost like a stop. Okay, so this is how you could say you could customize the whole settings, right? Okay. So the other things I want to show is, let's have some fun. You know, I want to show you a quick demo, which in this case is very simple, very few lines of code. I'm actually just, let me even remove those code so that we don't see it. So it is just a control with MP4, right? Oops. Save it first. So it is a control, and I could play this piece of video, right? So same thing, no big deal. That's the very first step. And obviously, if I want to support a multiple browser, I do have to actually put another format, like a WebM. So that it will work in Firefox as well. Otherwise, it won't be playing it, right? So the third step I want to do is, in this particular case, is I want to actually use some, you know, kind of like a, not exactly the control panel, but I want to use kind of like a mouse in, mouse out for the video and to control it, right? So so we put autoplay, and we're also going to put a few things to control that. Let me find my code really easily. Okay, so let me put some control for on mouse out, on mouse over, when it's pause, when it's play, right? Let's try that. And it's playing. Oops. Okay, so when I move out, it stops playing, right? See that? When I move in, it's playing. So this is actually captured in the on mouse in and the mouse out. And let's take a look at the code again. This is what this part is doing. All right. Now, so the other thing I want to do is I want to actually add in some canvas. I want to add a canvas like this, because what I want to do is, once I put a canvas layer, so I could actually, through the canvas, interact with this video, right? So what I try to do here is I would like to create a reflection of this image, of this video. So to save some time, I'm going to actually use my code snippets to do that. All right? So this is purely in JavaScript. What I did here is add an event listener for the load. And then I work through just with JavaScript to grab the video, grab the canvas drawing kind of context, and then specify what I want to do, you know, how big the reflection size is going to be. I want to actually scale the flip through the video. And then also I'm going to actually use some of the gradient. I want to use some linear gradient. Yes, it's supported in IE9 as well. So I could play with the gradient color with RGB, you know, a little bit. And then afterwards, I'm also going to actually, you know, because this is an image, right? Basically, I draw even though it's video, but when you trade it, it's like an image, right? So you actually draw the video frames. You trade it like an image, so you could draw the video frames into it. So again, I'm using the set interval to draw the image and the field rectangle so that you could actually have some effect like a fading, right? So it's a little animation here to make the reflection looks more real. All right, so let's give it a try. Oops. Oh, that's probably already someone up. Oh, here. It's just small, didn't see it. You see it? Okay, so it's a reflection, right? Pretty nice for this video, right? And then again, all the mouse in, mouse out event is working. It's mouse out is paused, right? Mouse in is... Okay, so it's nice, but still, I haven't done anything to make it looks more presentable, like with the background image, with some like a, make the title like a little bit center, make it just more professional, right? So let's do it. So go back to the code again. What I'm going to do this time is apply the CSS3 onto the whole video thing. Okay, let's see how we're going to do that. Okay, now we have it, right? So what we have is, again, like William just talked about this morning, we use a font face to generate some nice font, interesting font. We also use hovered over effect to see that. We actually play with a box shadow to make it more like a 3D effect. We also make it a border radius, like William said, I have to make it rounded. So that means I'm a good designer. And then I play with opacity, because when you are applying those special effects, you still have to see it will look nice with all the transform, with all the translation, because you want to actually change the angle a little bit. And then you associate with that, you will play with the scale, rotation, and so on. All right. So after we apply that, let's see what it look like. Okay, let's do a shift to redo. Make it a little smarter. Okay, so same thing. So what I did here is see the box shadow here, see the pinkish shadow, and see the it's a kind of rounded corner, rounded box for that, and also see the way it's like a tilted a little bit with all the angle, with the rotation, you know, with all the transform, right? So again, all the JavaScript, you know, mouse in, mouse out feature is still working. And then it's true, I haven't really worked on the other piece of data yet, right? If I want to do that, I want to write more code onto it, right? Yeah. So question is, could I put some audio text onto it? Yeah, absolutely. So it should be very easy to just adding some text as a component. How about, sorry, I didn't hear the question very well. Yes. So video screen, and you have another video or something on top of that? Yes, absolutely. So you could what you do is you could create a multiple canvas. Each canvas could be responsible for one video. So this is actually a good technique. It's a good question. So people, you know, because for performance sake, a lot of real life application, they need to say for that particular video to do a rotation, but then at the same time, I want to capture the data, then what am I going to do to buffer that piece of data? So what I usually do is you have a one canvas to put to implement a rotation for that. Another canvas is actually store all the buffering data. So you could actually have as many canvases as you want, right? So and then each canvas could serve different purpose. Yes, question. Resolution? How do you? What's your question? You mean? The resolution of your video? Uh-huh. Oh, screen size. Video quality. So I think you probably could do that, but then you're probably going to support a multiple video, right? You have a multiple video source with different resolution, and you probably could do it in the same way. You could have a different canvas to display different things. And maybe you have a choice, a little button to choose that. Yeah, so it's just a matter of you need to implement some JavaScript control to choose which video you want to show for that particular canvas. That's what you decide, right? Yes, question. Can I get to a set point in the video? You want to actually choose certain portion of video to play? I haven't tried it myself. But what I'm thinking is if you could customize your control, have your own play button, always skip like the first 20 minutes or whatever, I think that might be a way to do it. You're talking about some dynamic data feeding from a database to control how long you want to play that piece of video? Video tag. So I think, yeah, I think for now there's no standard for it yet, but I did hear some the expert group, they're working on to, you know, getting more like a marker, all those things into it. I don't see the standard way of doing things right now, but I think it's ongoing and it's possible in the future we have support for that. All right, so I think I'm almost out of time. Let me just wrap it up. I'm not quite sure. I need to look into that. Closed caption support, I'm not quite sure. Yeah. But we could always check with the W3C to see if they propose anything like that. I believe last time what I heard a talk, that was a few months ago, I don't think it's there yet, but they're working on it. Right. Okay, so tools. So tools, you know, I don't need to talk too much about that because you all have the right environment set up, right? So, okay, I want to see the show of hands. How many of you did not have the machine properly set up? Okay. So I think you may want to get in some of the proctors during the break and take a look at your machine to see how they could speed up the setup for you. All right. Okay, so the tools, Visual Studio 2010, we're going to do it in the lab, so you could try it yourself. There's a lot of nice feature, like you see in the demo, there's HTML5 IntelliSense, validation, CSS3 improvement, and you could also use Expression Web 4 Service Pack 1 to do things. It's very nice. Again, it's free. It's called Expression Web Web 4, and you could actually get it from Web Matrix, Web Installer. You could take a look. One thing I think it's really nice to talk about is Expression Super Preview. So before we get into that, don't forget F12 is your friend. You could always use that to do a lot of things. You could even, in the next session we'll talk about, you could even change the user agent. You could actually change to not just IE9, but then inside a tool, you could actually take a look at what it looked like in IE 7 and 8. And the other two, you know, I think it's really cool to share with you is Expression Web Super Preview. So let me see if I could call it up really quickly. So the idea here is you have a website, and then you want to test the look and feel for different kind of browser, right? IE6 or 9 or Firefox, different versions, Safari, and all those things. So how are you going to do that? So let me actually switch back to the other machine. Okay, so what we have here is what we call, it's a free tool. It's called Microsoft Expression Web 4 Super Preview. So it will actually allow you to take a look all the browsers. And you don't have to install it on your local machine. It is actually in the Azure cloud. It's what we call remote browsers. So remote site, they're actually maintaining all different versions of all your major browsers, right? So you could actually, we could try any one of them. Like this is the IE, I believe it's IE9. And then we could try, say, let's compare with IE6, for example. And then obviously we see some incompatibility, right? This particular one is gone, and you don't see anything here. So you could actually do, and you could do like if you want to try Firefox or some other browser. You could use that tool to compare with another browser. So it's a pretty cool tool to use. Okay, so I think I'm really out of time. I'm going to wrap it up. So again, you know, for those of you, if you haven't to write down, this is actually a two-page you want to do. What do? You could actually go to a Web Matrix download, including a web installer, and then you could install all the nice tools, Visual Studio 2010 Expression or Expression Web 4. Again, for those of you who haven't really done the machine setup, this is a URL for you to set it up. I think this is the same slide I'm talking about. So with that, I'm going to switch to the next session. So between I'm moving from one talk to the other, is there any questions so far? So this is another thing. The streaming part is not defined in W3C yet. The video streaming is not. It's still ongoing, right? So, but the thing is, IIS server has very good support for the video streaming. You may want to take a look. Yes. What is the question? No, not there. So streaming part and those are not there yet. That's optional. You could put it in a local directory. You could use a URL to find it on the web or you host it on the web. Okay, so next, what I'm going to do is we are actually going to talk about how you could make the HTML5 app work with the old legacy browser. In other words, for the browser which doesn't support HTML5 yet. Because we live in a big world, and you can expect all the browser all of a sudden move on to all the modern browser. And maybe your customers will tell you, I want to stay with where we are. I want to move on. But then you actually have your HTML5 app, right? You want to show people this nice, cool feature, and you don't want to break anything. That's the number one thing, right? So how are you going to do that? So we're going to actually talk about all the key steps. So for this particular session, for the next hour, what I'm trying to do is show you a methodology. I want to show you how you could actually detect the problems, finding that problem, and find a solution to resolve it. So it's more like a methodology sort of go over rather than, you know, give you random tips or tactics to resolve it, right? So I think a methodology or process would be a really important thing. So we're going to actually use that as a guideline to talk about it for the rest of the talk. First of all, browser fragmentation. So like I said, not all the browsers are modern browsers. There are so many different browsers there, right? IE6 to 8, Firefox 3.6 and below, Safari 4 and below, Chrome 7, all those things, those are not modern browsers. So even modern browsers sometimes used to have some issues, right? You want to make it a really cross browsers, you do have to put some effort into it. But with all the non-modern browsers, what are you going to do with it? Okay, let's take a look at this diagram. I got it from Marketplace, the browser, the adaption. Oh, and I'm looking at this, looking at our data. And a few things sort of, you know, catch my attention. I look at it, I see there is a Netscape 6.0. People still using that. I see Microsoft Internet Explorer 6.0. It's called the World Edition. I don't, you know. And then there is another one which I, you know, I don't know if anybody heard about that. Safari on Windows 53 Maxon Edition. What is that? Obviously, people still use it. So my point here is showing you all the available browsers nowadays in the world, showing you all the browsers, there's still people are using them. Okay, some of them even though you've never heard of, but people using them. So what are we going to do with that? Fragmentation, right? You have your HTML5 app, very nice, but when you try to run in different all the browsers, it's not going to be cross-browser, that's for sure, and there will be a lot of different issues. And then it's a full-time job, right? If you want to use a browser version, if you look at that list, I don't know how many, 50, 60, or even more, it's a full-time job. You hire one person, try to take a look at all the available browser version, browser available in the world, and then try to fix each single one of them. I wouldn't want to take that job, even they pay me $1 million. So that's almost, you know, impossible to support it, right? So what does that tell you? That tells you we should not really do the detection based on the version of the browser. We should be smart. We should all figure out some other ways to do that, which is doing the feature detection, right? That all makes more sense. Why is that? Because when you develop any app, you probably use 4 or 5 HTML5 new feature there. And then for you, you just want to make sure all those features are supported by different browsers, right? So one thing to look at is I'm going to check that feature. If that feature is going to work in that browser, then this is what I'm going to do. If that particular feature is not going to work for that browser, then this is what I'm going to do. So in that sense, I don't have to care about the version of the browsers, isn't it? I don't have to care how many browsers are available. All I have to care, two things, either working or not working for that particular feature. Right? So this is why it's important to address we need to do feature detection instead of doing browser version detection. Right? Very important concept. So you want to actually detect the standard-based features first for HTML5, and then gradually detect some other features. So let's take a look. Why we could not stay with the browser detection? Let's take a look at this example. I think this is the code may be familiar for most of you. While ago, before we support IE9 anything, I think you see this JavaScript a lot, right? What you say is you use a user agent, check the index of MSIE, right? So if it's not IE, then we're going to use add event listener, right? And then else, if this is IE, then I'm going to use attach event, right? Perfect fine. Before, like with the old browser, now modern browsers, I used that a lot many years ago. You do that. So what might be the problem with IE9? IE9 supports a standard HTML5 feature. It also supports add event listener. This is the API it will use in IE9, add event listener. So if you go back to the code, take a look, what does it tell you? It says, if it's an IE browser, then you're going to use attach event. But IE9 is not using attach event. IE9 is using add event listener. So this is where the confusion is, and this is not a good way to check it because it gives you wrong message, isn't it? So this is something why we say you do not want to do for a browser detection. And this is bad. So you want to actually do a feature detection. So this is how we do it with a feature detection. So what we check here is we check the add event listener will be supported for that particular browser or not. If yes, we're going to call this method, call this API. If no, we're going to call attach event. So this is a way to do feature detection. Yeah, pretty straightforward. Good. Okay, let's move on. So, very good. You all say, I like your thinking. I want to do feature detection, right? So how are we going to do that? There are so many different ways we could do feature detection. There's so many things you need to look into that. If you want to write a really sort of raw, primitive sort of JavaScript, you could do that, right? This is a totally legitimate, you know, a piece of code. I'm sure if you look into your old code, you did it like this. So is there any way better than this, right? Let's take a look. Aha, how many of you heard about Modernizer? Yes. So Modernizer is a great tool to help you to do feature detection. And in my opinion, it's the best option. Okay, it's really, really good. And then you could go to the modernizer.com to take a close look of that. Let me see, actually, there's one thing I want to show you. Modernizer itself is very, very small. It's pretty small. And then it will detect all the major HTML5 as well as CSS3 features. All right, so it will detect all the new HTML5 features. And then for one thing, if you actually including Modernizer in your code, it already includes HTML5 shim to support all the semantic tag. People still remember some of the semantic tag? Header, footer, session, article, those things. Those things are not recognized by old browsers, right? So with the Modernizer, they will fix quite a bit of those tag issues. And then immediately, it's very easy to use, and it's small, right? So immediately catching a lot of industry adoption. Twitter use it, National Football League use it, Burger King, and much more. So it's getting a lot of momentum and it's constantly updated. And then what's so cool about that, if you're a .NET user developer, how many of you are a .NET user developer? Okay, if you download ASP.NET MVC 3 and above, it includes Modernizer. Okay, so it's there for you to use. So I actually like the other option is, I know that it is small, but for some people, they really think about even smallest JavaScript may have some impact to my performance, right? So in that sense, what are you going to do? So what I do here in the demo, I download a developer version, which is a full browser version of Modernizer. But for your production environment, if you want to make it really tailored for your application, what you could do is you could say, I know there are only three CSS features I'm going to use. There are maybe four HTML5 features and a miscellaneous feature. So I could select the features I want to use and then do a customize and say generated, do a customized build. So that way, your bits is the smallest, right? And it's exactly what you need. You won't preload any unnecessary JavaScript library, because what is Modernizer? It is a JavaScript library. It's a collection of that. So if you want to do that, if you're really fuzzy about the last, you know, sort of last bit of performance, do a customized build for Modernizer. Very easy. Just go to the website, tick, tick, tick the feature you want, do a generate, and boom, you get it. Right? Pretty cool, right? Okay, so, and again, you could actually have, like, if you want to do a font face, right, you want to check that. And this is a good piece of code, right? Nothing wrong with that. You could actually check if you support a font face or not. You could do things like that, right? Well, you probably have good eyes, you see it, but I don't really want you to read it, don't worry. Oh, you could do things like that. Right? So, with a Modernizer, you could say modernizer.fontface. That's all you need to check. Just one simple condition, and that's it you need. All right? So let's do a quick demo for Modernizer to help you to get some idea. So this is a piece of code. It's try to check if the Modernizer is going to support a canvas and not. So the key piece here is obviously at the beginning, you're going to actually adding something called Node JavaScript. So Modernizer is really cool. If your browser for some reason does not support JavaScript, they actually have a way to handle for you. So you want to put a Node.js in the beginning. And then afterwards, you probably need to include a library. So you include a Modernizer library here. In this case, I also use some jQuery, so I included my jQuery, and that's about it. So it will actually do all those libraries in the header. And then for the checking part, it's very simple, right? So here you say, Modernizer, could you all read it? Or should I make it a little bigger? So you say, Modernizer, Canvas, Modernizer Audio. So I want to check if that browser supports both Canvas and Audio. If it does, then I'm going to run a pretty cool Canvas Circles by Mark Emberling. If it doesn't support it, then I sort of like a fallback to do something else. Okay, so let's take a look. So I think there's some problem with the audio. Let me see if I could. Could you hear any sound? Let me see. Ah, here we go. So, this is IE9. So it has a nice support for audio and canvas. So it is working perfectly, right? So what if I want to see the behavior for other, you know, browser? Let me try it again. Oops. Okay, let's pull the F12 too. So, and then if we're going to try something like a 7 or 8, we know Canvas and audio is going to not support there. So now, we actually have different things running, right? So, so why is not moving anymore? Okay, let me pray this. Okay, here we go. So very cute hamster dancing. I always laugh when I see that. So it's just a demo. So when it's video, audio working, audio cameras working, it's the other one, the circle one, the music circle. If it's not, then go over back to hamster dancing. So that's the whole idea. Now, so with F12.2, it's very easy. You could actually use the browser mode to check what it looks like in IE7 and 8. All right? So the other things is actually pretty cool to see is with the modernizer support at the very first line, it will actually tell you what are the feature, HTML5 feature will be supported, what are not. For example, this is IE 8, so it's not going to support Flexbox. But if you actually go to IE 9, it's actually going to, it doesn't support the Flexbox, but it supports audio and video and all those things. So that actually, it's an extra help to for you to see, you know, that lines, that all the features listed there. Okay, so you all get an idea. Let's move on. So once you detect the feature, and what are you going to do? So you know something's not working, right? And then how are you going to try to fix it? So that's when you need a polyfills and shims. So what are they? Polyfills and shims are no more than just JavaScript and a bundle of JavaScript, HTML, and CSS code. It is basically provide you a solution to fix some problem, to fix the feature you did not support in your browser, right? So if you look at that, people still sort of like ask a question most of the time is that, what is a polyfill? What is a shim? So Paul Erish has a pretty good explanation. Says polyfill is a shim that mimics a future API, providing fallback functionality to old browsers. So polyfill is a type of shim, but it actually supports future APIs. So that's the difference. Whereas shim, most of the time, it doesn't have to sort of like provide a future support. It basically just provides you a solution. Could it be a quick solution just to fix a problem? That's the shim. And the polyfill is basically, you know, replicate the real or standard API, which you may want to use in the future. So if you can find some polyfills to resolve some issues for that particular feature, then you should use polyfills because it would be good. It would be supporting for the future. But if you couldn't find anything, that's fine. You could just use shims. Right? So one of the cool things about a polyfill and the shims is it's not like I want you to write everything, you know, by yourself. You actually have a very big resource on GitHub. It has a list of all the resources to do all kinds of fix for SVG, for Canvas, let me make it a little bigger, for web storage, and for text, semantic elements, video, web forms, web workers, geolocation, and so on. Okay, so I'll give you the link so you could actually take a look at all those things. Now, having said that, it's not every single piece is really, you know, working that great. So I would recommend a few of them, which works fine. For polyfills, I would recommend HTML5 shim, which has the semantic tag support. If you worry about a local storage, I would recommend storage polyfill. That's a good one to use. And if you want to have some work with HTML5 form and worry about the features not supported, you could use H5F to do that. For shims, again, you work with a bunch of storage user data, you could use Amplify Store. And the other good one to use resolve the cross-domain messaging is EasyXDM. So these are the few packages we already use, and I feel it's pretty good to use, so we'll share with you. Some of the packages we haven't used it, and some of them may not be good. So you have to be a little careful when you try to apply those polyfills and shims into your app. So a lot of things to think about. So people still think, then when am I going to use a polyfill? When am I going to use shim, right? Things to think about is, does it work as expected? That's the first thing. Is it providing the cross-browser solution? That's another thing to think about. And do you need to support that particular feature in the near future? Then in that case, you should stay with our polyfills, right? And then how easy to maintain? Because a lot of time you apply too many all those libraries, you kind of get lost. You don't know where you are. Have to think about maintainability. So all those things will actually help you to determine the best part views and shims for your app. Okay, so with that, I'm going to actually show you a particular app which is using all the nice thematic tags like a header, navigation articles in the app. And then I will show you, you know, what it looks like in the non-modern browser versus the modern browser. And once we detect the problem, how we're going to fix it. So this is a typical HTML5 app. And it's actually a browser posting. Okay, so when you look at this browser posting, what you see is we have a nice board radius around the corner. Formatted all the block into this shaded area, and it looks pretty cool, right? And then this is IE9. So what it looks like is in IE7, it will look like this. Okay, so all the background, all the nice formatting is gone. Why is that? This is 7 and 8. This is how it looks like. So partially it's because all the semantic tag it doesn't recognize. Right, all the browser doesn't recognize. They only work with all the div, right? It doesn't work with all the header, footer, session, and so on. All right, so I thought I had this question. It's just a stretch. All right, so let's go take a look how we're going to do that. So first of all, what we do is, like what we learned, we're going to use Modernizer to do a feature detection, right? So first thing first, what we will do is we will actually put a modernizer into the code, and then first we're going to put to support a modernizer with no JavaScript. What if their browser doesn't support a JavaScript, right? What are you going to do? Second thing, what do you do is you're actually putting what I call reset your CSS. So what is this reset is providing HTML5 support for all the new semantic tags that are, you know, the old browser didn't recognize. And then obviously don't forget to load your modernizer here. All right, so it's very simple. It's pretty local. And then let's take a look at that a particular one called HTML5 reset.css. So there's a lot of reset kind of style sheet available. I'm just actually taking this one. I think it's pretty good and modified a little bit. It's by Richard Kroc. It's very good. So what it does, Richard, what he does here is he tried to define some of the new tag for article, a site detail, figure caption, and so on. So he defined it. And defined a new tag, and it says display in the block format, and display that. So this is basically tells the old browser, say, hey, I understand you don't have those support for all the semantic tags like this, but I'm going to actually define it in my CSS so that you could use that and support it. All right? So after we do that, let's see what it looks like. So let's go back to the browser. This is what it looked like before. So let's do a shift reload. Well, doesn't have any effect yet. Let me close it, do it one more time. Oh, I know why. I haven't saved it. Okay. Haven't saved it. Okay. So now you see, after apply the modernizer, apply the reset HTML5 style sheet, it looks much better, right? So it looks like things are formatted the way it is with all the nice blocks. The only thing it doesn't have is, this is IE7. Let me switch to IE8. This is what it looks like, IE8. And then if you look at IE9, the only difference is IE9 has this support radius. So if you want to be a perfectionist, then you would say go back to try to fix this around the corner. So let's do it. So very easy. There's a lot of JavaScript package like jQuery, which will help you actually to resolve this particular problem. So let's actually just grab some jQuery code. And then we use a modernizer first to check if the border radius is not supported. then I'm going to apply a shim concept by using jQuery library. So the particular one I'm using is called jQuery Corner, right? So this is the one I'm using. So it is a jQuery JavaScript library, right? So it's actually cross-browser. And I call this article, I want to call it a corner because this is one of the jQuery library, corner library, so you could actually call it. All right, so after you do this, this is done. Let's again go back, change it back to IE7. And yeah, it looks like it's fixed already. That was quick. I haven't reloaded it. So it's fixed. Look at this. So now it's 7, now it's 8. So this is with a nice rounded corner as well as nice format. All right, so wrap it up. What did we do here? We first use Modernizer to detect all the features which are not supported in HTML5. And then we think about, is there any necessary shim or party fields we could use? So we actually use a CSS style sheet to reset the HTML5. So basically define all the new semantic tags. And then we use jQuery library to actually add a round corner effect onto our page. Questions? Okay, so I'm actually going to make this really quick. I think you will get ideas about the video support, right? So again, with the video support with all the browser, what you have to do is you don't have much choices because they don't support all the video audio tags. So you have to fall back with a plugin kind of like approach. So in this case, I'm actually showing how you could use Silverlight to display that piece of video, right? So this is how you do it, right? So you define all the different kind of video format. First is a MP4 and then a WebM. And there's some other things you may want to support. So I think there is a bug in iPhone. You do have to put a video MP4 in the front, even though it doesn't really matter which order it takes. What the browser thinks is if you see there's an MP4 support for that browser, it will take MP4. If you couldn't find that particular support, then it will go to your next line. In this case, it's a WebM. Then it'll say, do you have a WebM? Yes, then that could display it in this browser. And if it still doesn't work, it say, this is an older browser. It doesn't support any of the MP4 or the WebM. Then in that case, you just say, okay, let me take a look if you provide any plugin feature. In that case, it's going to Flash or Silverlight kind of code to take a look. So this is how you could actually provide the video support for all the browser, modern and the non-modern browsers. Any questions? Straightforward, right? All right. Okay, so Medium query is an interesting one because I think this is one of my favorite feature in CSS3. With Medium query, you actually could actually work with different screen size. You could actually work with different device, either desktop or phone, right? But then how about the old browser? They don't support a median query. What are you going to do with that? So there is a pretty useful package called respond.js. It actually does resolve all the for IE 6 or 8. It helps to resolve all the issues with non-supported for median queries. So it's extremely easy to use. All you have to do is download the response.javascript and put the code there, right? So with that, we could take a really quick look. So here, let me open another project. So with the response, this is a particular one to fix a Medium query kind of issue. So let me show you. So this is a very simple Medium query. And then I will just run it. Okay, so what you see here, let's start with 9. So with IE9, when you actually play with the screen size, you actually will see different color, different background. This is the median curve. You remember, you could resize it. It's a conditional fit, right? If the particular size fit into that condition, then it would do something. In this case, it depends on the size of the screen. It will change the color with that. Okay, so this is IE9. And with IE7, you don't really have anything. It's just it doesn't recognize the median query, so it just gives you some default color. So it's all black. Doesn't have anything, right? So how do we fix it? Very easy. All we do is go to the code, and adding this piece of respond minimum dot JavaScript library, and make it work, right? So let's go back. And then this is IE7, let's shift redo. Now, you see the median query is actually working, even in IE7, right? So now you could work it like the regular, like IE9. It's pretty cool, right? Yeah, question on the back. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, could you you want to actually have some control about your size of using the pixel, right, to determine that? Is that your question?
Well, no, pixel is a way to determine how big a screen is, but a pixel is not the only one. Some
screens have more pixels than others. Is there a way to monitor the screen and change the size? Right, so basically, I think for now, what I see most likely it's a pixel size. It's not inches or any other units, but I think that might be an option. You could play with that, but I see most likely it's pixel because you support either desktop or a device. When a device is very small, right, you actually want to go down to the pixel level, right? For example, a size of iPhone versus size of Windows Phone or Android, those really you have to use pixel to control the size, right? You don't have... So you are saying you don't want to use pixel as a unit, you want to use different unit to control the size. Right. So I think there is an option for you to change that. Just for the accuracy and there's a lot of sort of preset data that will tell you, the screen size is how much, 480 by something or 400 by something or 600 by something. So if you look at a different spec for different smartphones, you will see that that's what they tell you. So this is the pixel, the number of pixel, 480, 500, 600. All right? So somebody have a question in the front? Pardon me? Yes. So what is the question? You mean, do we have support for median density? Detect the density in the CSS level? Or? I don't think in the CSS you could do that, but you should be able to write in your own code to calculate and to determine JavaScript, basically. Not in CSS3. Okay, don't get it wrong. Median query is very simple. All it does is the CSS3 control. It's a conditional setting, right? It's setting with different size. With certain size, then you do this. With different size, you do the other. So it's a CSS. It's very simple setting. It's a conditional mat. If you want to do some fancy thing or want to override some of the stuff, then you probably want to go into the JavaScript to do that. But there is a lot of, I don't have the Medium query of the API with me, but if you look into that, it's pretty rich. You could look into all the options, how you could actually play with all the combination, right? Okay, so... last but not least, I want to really briefly go over that is because people ask me a lot about, some people still worry about all the dynamic loading. So they were saying, if I need to load this and load that in my app, does that impact my performance? Is there any way I could do asynchronous dynamic loading based on some condition? Meaning I only load things I need. I don't want to load it, and I want to control when I'm going to load. I don't want to always load it at the beginning. So there's another pretty good one called YapNope. How many of you heard of that? YapNope.js. It's a very good library. It really gives you really good control for asynchronous conditional resource load. And then the good thing is it works with modernizer. All right. So you actually could load the only set of scripts you want. And you could also tell the loader, say, when, based on which condition I want to load this. And you could also say, when that event finished or complete, then I want to load this. Because in this particular package, they decouple the preloading from execution. So you could actually separate these two actions and make good use of that in your code. So it is pretty powerful. And this is the URL, yepnopejs.com. And then there's a few, you know, syntax, you know, you may be interested, but I'm not going to go over the detail. The major one is a yep. It's basically say, yes, if that condition is true, then do something. Nope, if that fails, then don't do anything or do something different. You could also say, always load this piece. I want to always load this library no matter what, right? You could also say, I have a callback routine. I want to say, if something happened, then in my callback, I want to load that JavaScript or things like that. So there's a lot of flexibility for you to do that. And then one other one I really like is the YapNope work with modernizer. So for example, in this code, what you see is I have a test, right? It's booting. And then I test to see if that particular browser will support a geolocation. If it does, then I'm going to load one of the JavaScript called normal.js. If it doesn't support, then I'm going to actually adding more JavaScript, like polyfills, wrappers into it. So this is a very good control for your code. If you really worry about it, you don't want to preload all the library at the beginning for your startup page or things like that. So I think I'm running out of time. I want you to get ready for the web. So a few takeaways for this session. First of all, you want to actually avoid browser detection. What we should do? Should we use? Feature detection, exactly. Check the feature you want to use. You should not really care about any of the browser version. Only detect the feature. How do you detect the feature? Use modernizer. Very good. So with a modernizer, and then you should apply appropriate, once you detect the problem, then you should apply appropriate polyfills and shims, right? And then to resolve the problem. And then if you worry about the performance, the loading, use what? YapNope.js, yes. So, again, I'll show this tools and the resource again for those of you might be interested. And I think we're going to take, it's actually 2:30. I think we pretty much get back on time. Let's resume, give you 15 minutes. Let's resume at 2:45. We're going to start a lab. So this is a good break because if you haven't get your machine set up, please raise your hand. So our proctors will actually approach you to find out what's going on. Now, another sort of housekeeping message is you do see there's another breakout room with all the tables, right? So if you want, you could always move to the other room if you want to use a table to do your lab, or you could feel free to stay in this room. The only thing is if I want to make a quick announcement or something, I could only do it here. I could not do it in the other breakout room. But feel free, you know, to choose the environment you feel most comfortable with. All right? Thank you.